Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, it's with the election results we begin this morning, because the counting has concluded. As you know, all of Ireland's 14 election candidates have been selected for the European Parliament, and the results and transfer patterns will give all the parties and candidates an awful lot to chew on as we move towards a slew of by-elections and a general election all within the next 9 months. Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at DCU, was here with us throughout the campaign bringing us his predictions, and he's back with me in the studio now again. Gary, you're very welcome. Good to see you. Now, in that pre-election speculation, you said it would be calamitous if Sinn Féin didn't retain a seat in Midlands North West. What does it mean now that it's come to pass?
Well, I think it is calamitous for the party, and I think it needs it means a complete reset and rethinking of their approach as we as the general election looms ever closer. And I think the common consensus is the general election will probably be in October, notwithstanding the government party's insistence it'll go to February, March. I mean, in one way, they can't really say anything else, because otherwise the general election campaign would start immediately. But for Sinn Féin, I mean, we had talked about if the Sinn Féin steadiness in the polls was to be replicated, then they should be in the hunt for two seats in Midlands North West and in Ireland South. I mean, so if you translate their first preference vote to a general election, and of course we know elections are different, well, if you're barely getting over the line in South in a five-seater and you're not getting over the line in Midlands North West in a five-seater, well, I do think that needs thinking at the very top. And we've heard murmurings all week about discontent from so-called party activists, whether in Waterford, as Jennifer Bray reported in the Irish Times during the week, or from Belfast, as is reported in some of today's papers. Well, I think there's rumblings in the party need to be addressed.
And I mean, I know Sinn Féin will have Louisa Riley on the gathering later. They would point to the fact that they've gone from 81 seats in 2019 to 102, but it's really, this is based on expectation.
It's all about expectation, Claire, and the expectation coming in to the election. And I said it, I think, on your programme, in our sort of predictions programmes, was that at a local election and at European elections, they would be expecting to get the most first preference votes, leading on from their general election performance, and to be fair, their performance in the polls. And remember, it's really only in the campaign that we had precipitous, or dare I say, a calamitous collapse in the in first preference share for Sinn Féin. So I think they will be relieved in some way that Kathleen Funchen certainly got over the line in South. Yes, their numbers have gone up in local elections, but they couldn't both go up because they did so poorly in 2019. And they will be, I think, slightly reassured, though, that come a general election, I mean, it's going to be a simple question, really. And that is, do you want to retain the government in some shape or form, or do you want to change it with Sinn Féin at the top?
OK, now, we know about the story of the independents, huge vote for independents in both elections, but two independents who lost out, Mick Wallace and Claire Daly. Do you expect that they will run in any general election, and will they have a chance of a seat?
Well, I don't know if they will run, but I think they both might well run. They've been full-time politicians for over a decade now, in Mick Wallace's case, when he ran surprisingly in Wexford in 2011 and topped the poll and had an extraordinary personal vote, and Claire Daly for much longer, literally all her adult life as a professional politician of one type or another. I think they would both be in with a shout, simply because they have significant name recognition. What they might suffer from, of course, is a type of rebound effect. Oh, you were voted out in Europe and now you're looking for a seat back here, as a type of consolation prize. They both have one might say, a kind of a quixotic message on world affairs or global affairs, which mightn't go down well with the voters of Wexford, or I presume Claire Daly will run in Dublin, Fingal. But if your vote is going down, that's always a bad sign. I mean, there's talk about with Ciarán Coughran or some other defeated candidates. But if your vote is going down, yeah, I mean, I think it would be a struggle for anyone who's been defeated to get re-elected or to get elected at a general election.
OK, despite the fact that they may have had, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 votes in the last election.
Yeah, but I think we had to look at their percentage of the vote. And I've made a point, and I make it again. There's a lot of talk about transfers, and of course transfers are really important. But if you don't get a significant first preference vote, look at John Mullins in Ireland South, for instance, or look at Chris McManus in, talking of Sinn Féin in Midlands Northwest, or Claire Daly herself in and Mick Wallace. If you don't get a significant first preference vote, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the lesson that all parties need to address.
Listen, you brought up John Mullins, and I want to talk about voter strategy in or Fine Gael strategy rather in Ireland South, because if you look at what happened overnight, it was John Mullins' vote that got Cynthia Ní Bhfiorachú for Fianna Fáil over the line. So what did Fine Gael do wrong there?
They got 10,000 more first preference votes and 1.5% in the vote share, Claire. And yet there was no talk of John Mullins being in the hunt. And that was because Sean Kelly got a very large first preference vote and was elected on the first count with a surplus. And of course, as you know, at the top with a surplus, unless you have a huge surplus, your transfers are simply not going to be as many as when one is eliminated. And in that context... I described John Kelly on another programme as a sort of an old-style Fine Gael quota squatter. The idea was you get as much first preference votes as you can and you leave the other candidate of your party like do their best, but you're not going to help them out very much. And I think that was the case here. And in one way, it's hard to blame Kelly a little bit. But
what Fianna Fáil did. Like, they had Billy Kelleher in a very specific area. Don't go beyond that. Leave the rest to the new candidate. And it worked.
It did, and certainly when myself and Fionnán Sheehan had a little joust here on Monday morning about John Mullins, they certainly could have ran a Leinster candidate, which would have made more geographical sense. And I think it was, and Mullins doesn't have the name recognition of some other people, notwithstanding his sort of career in both the private and public sector. He always struck me as more of a general election candidate, mm-hmm. and I think he would be a strong general election candidate for Fine Gael in Cork East, where he lives. Their sitting TD, David Stanton, is retiring, so that might be a place for him. But it's difficult to get strategy right, because we talk about Fianna Fáil, and yes, I mean, we have to look at the transfers between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, because I expect we won't have a pact at the general election, but I think the hope and expectation for both parties is they will transfer to each other.
Unspoken pact.
But look at Midlands North West, where notwithstanding Micheál Martin's bullishness overnight and his talk of that Fianna Fáil will win two seats the next time in Midlands North West, which very loose talk from him, I was surprised. They got more votes than Fine Gael, more first preference votes and higher percentage, and split them three ways. Still inexplicable, beyond internal Fianna Fáil machinations that no one in the public is remotely interested in. And Fine Gael, by having their two candidates, Maria Walsh and Nina Carberry, close together, were able to get the two seats there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned Nina Carberry. We have Ciarán Mullooly, Cynthia Ní Bhfiorachú, you know, going into politics for the first time, heading over for the plenary sessions in Brussels. Are they in for a rude awakening?
I think they probably are. It's certainly being a professional politician is... an elected politician, certainly in Europe, with just the sheer size of the Parliament. Mm-hmm. One of the things that...
I mean, everyone has to start somewhere, we should
do,
be fair
course.
Here, but that's a tough mountain to climb, isn't it?
It is a tough mountain to climb, and I listened to Ciarán Mullooly this morning in Morning Ireland talk about being a voice for common sense and centrism and rural Ireland in the European Parliament. But beyond Mick Daly and Mick Wallace, excuse me, and Claire Daly in the last Parliament, I mean, Ciarán Cuff has a good reputation. I think a lot of people would struggle to say, well, what did my Irish parliamentarians achieve? And that's because of the sheer size of it. It's easy to get lost. Yeah, there's a lot of valuable sort of committee work done, but most people, I think, would struggle to tell you what exactly the person they voted for in 2019 actually achieved over the course of the 5 years, notwithstanding the sort of Daly Wallace axis on foreign affairs. And I think that it'll be a struggle for them. But, you know, they're certainly for the bigger parties, there will be a strength in both colleagues and in their wider European families. But it is, yeah. And there's a lot of travel involved. We're up early in the morning. And I wonder what what the personal reward is, and you see someone like Ciarán Cuff, who did an enormous amount and then is turfed out without a backwards glance by the electorate.
That's democracy, isn't
indeed
it?
And it
that
is. And we'll have another go soon enough, Claire.
Well, that's what I want to ask you next, because you seem pretty sure now at the beginning that we will have this general election in October, despite what we are hearing from the party leaders. Is it a dead cert for you?
It's probably nothing is a dead cert in politics, but I think it would be very surprising. There's a risk in running by elections, especially if they run them so late. And if they were to run them in July, August, it would be an odd time, August, or even early September, that would be one thing. The closer you get to a when you have to have a general election, we only have to look back to 2019 to see what happened there with Fine Gael in particular, not winning any of those four seats. And the narrative, I think, would be if the opposition wins those by-elections, the government should have went early. What was the point in having these? Mm-hmm. You give the opposition, particularly Sinn Féin, who are feeling, I think, very bruised this morning, an opportunity to regroup. And Sinn Féin, good by-elections, particularly in Midwest, obviously, where Mark Ward won a seat and then replicated that in the general election. And I don't think come a campaign, voters will be too worried about a so-called broken promise of an election in February or March. It's hardly a snap election when you're so close to the end of the Dáil term anyway.
But what the government parties will have to figure out is how to fight the independents now, because that's where the battleground is if you look at these results.
It is, but of course the independents are, as we said, rather amorphous, going from far left to far right. And again, the way I think government parties might think of it is to say a vote for independent really is not a vote for a government, whether voting for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael or Sinn Féin on the other side. And I think that would be the Sinn Féin plan as well, that this is a extraordinary consequential election. Do you want sort of more of the same centrism, or do you want a change? And what would voting for an independent do? But on the other hand, I for one certainly could see Independent Ireland winning a couple of extra seats, getting to six, and then saying to Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, we have six TDs. Mm-hmm. Show us what you can give us in a coalition government. Now, Michael Fitzmaurice opted out in 2016, but he might well decide he wants to opt in and change from when. Because notwithstanding the Greens' difficulties, and they've had a very difficult election, I mean, they can point to getting quite a lot of their agenda through the current Dáil in the 4 years they've been part of this coalition government. And what that tells us, I think, is that whether it's Independent Ireland or the Social Democrats or the rejuvenated Labour Party, is that, if you're in government, you can get things done. Then you can sell a message to the electorate. Now, the electorate mightn't like it, and the sort of green tide is certainly ebbing away, but I think a general election all will still be to play for.
What have you to say about the Greens?
I think it was a very difficult election. There seems to be a sense, particularly in rural Ireland, I heard Carolyn Mullooly again this morning talking about the Greens going too fast, and rural Ireland isn't anti-Green message, but it doesn't want these sudden changes in which would affect people's lifestyle and whatnot. Does show, I think, though, that all their seats will be closely fought come a general election.
Targeted.
Targeted. I think Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin should probably hold on in the sort of heartlands of Dublin south. But Eamon Ryan, he issued an extraordinarily bullish message just before the campaign that they would retain their seats in the European Parliament and increase in the local elections and their vote. They've lost their two seats. As I said here, I think the loss of Ciarán Cough is a brutal loss for them. And they've gone down half their seats in the local elections. And just to go back to what I said earlier, Claire, if you're losing votes in the European and local elections and in a general election is so close, that does not presage good news.
I have a listener asking, when will Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael amalgamate? Well, we're talking about the unspoken voter pact. I mean, we're not even saying that that's going to be something that they're going to seek out, but people are going to, particularly seeing how the transfers went in the locals and the Europeans, that question is legitimately being asked now. What is the difference?
Because their local and European election results are akin to their general election result of 2020, which was a very bad result for both parties. There's no getting away from that. And if those results stay the same, and I heard the Taoiseach talk about it, he was exultant with Fine Gael's results, and they've had a very good election in terms of seats, but I think he will be worried about percentage of the vote. But there's been talk of merger since the sort of economic collapse of 2011 and the demise of the Fianna Fáil, but it's proved somewhat resilient. I'm just not convinced it's anywhere soon because of history, heritage, culture, and Yeah, I mean,
but if Sinn Féin,
there's still a lot of Fianna Fáil who still haven't accepted the fact that this government is
working. That's as may be. But do you think that if there had been a stronger showing from Sinn Féin, that question might be even more pertinent than it is now?
No. I don't, to be frank. I'm not terribly convinced, because I think general elections are where it's at for both parties. They will fight them on an independent platform. But I think, and there won't be any talk of transfers in advance. But they will be hoping that a pattern that has emerged, and as we started the show with clear of John Mullins's transfers electing Cynthia in the Iroquois, that will somewhat continue. And there was a little transfer pattern as well. I looked at in the local elections of Fianna Fáil transferring to Fine Gael and vice versa. But it's one thing transferring, it's another thing merging and amalgamating, and there was lots of talk about Labour and the Social Democrats, and we only have to look at when Labour and Democratic Left merged. There was talk that this would be a huge new left wing force, and at the following election the newly unified Labour Party vote went down, notwithstanding that it increased later on.
So maybe there are lessons there.
There are lessons about merging doesn't always mean an increase in one's vote or just a better scenario
All
for
right.
either
so
party.
There might be saying transfer between the two of us, but don't say it out loud.
I would
could be as
that
far
would be
as it
a
might
safe
go.
Message to assume. Yeah.
Gary, thanks so much
for
all of your input over the course of the campaign and the count. Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at DCU. Coming up next, why is car insurance rising at three times the cost of inflation?
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.